Well, it'd be good if you wanted to pray for me. Well, I believe that God is the answer to all the problems that we have in this world. And I've heard since I was young in the Lord, statement was made, and I put it into my memory. I heard someone say that every minister worth his salt points people to Christ. That is the answer to our problems. It's many people want someone to be that person for them. That's why there's a lot of people like that, is because people are willing to have someone in the position of tell me what to do. Or be that person to me that I can put my confidence in, something that I literally can see, something that I can speak to physically, someone that I can get something from naturally in that kind of a way. And there is more than enough people on the planet to fill that role. There's a lot of people not filling that role that would love to fill that role. People want to be a person that says that. I don't really understand that very well, especially if you're striving to live for the Lord, why that you would want the great responsibility of that. Because you can't handle it. No. You don't have the capability. I don't have the capability. The great, so-called great evangelists of this world don't have that ability. The great television evangelists and those that fly around in their jets and do all that, they don't have the ability to give anybody what they really need either. And so I want to say that this morning is that our goal and purpose of our ministry is never to bring someone. I'm sorry. Oh, it needs a. Oh, you need to. Full with it or not. Nothing on it. There's no light on. Well, we need the Lord to help us. We need the Lord. The bottom line and the purpose of our gatherings is not to bring someone to a personality or to bring to some kind of a fleshly or physical movement. We don't have a book to put your name on. And if we had a book, it'd be ink on a paper. We have no capability of doing anything like that. We don't try to. There was nothing of that sort to offer. We simply want to do what's most meaningful, what really works, and what really works is God. We need God. In every part of our life, we need God. We need the God to help us in our daily life. We need the Lord to help us in our prayer life. We need the Lord in all of us. And if anything in the Scripture, especially the New Testament, teaches, it teaches that Christ came, and so many religious people, and they got a wrong thought. People need help, and they recognize their life being needy. Many people do. And for us that's following the Lord, I want to challenge you with something. People do wrong. But we're to have this view of, we know what wrong is.
Do you know most of the time that the wrongs that's committed and the things that we look at is in a person's pursuit of life that they don't know how to do any better, or everybody wants happiness in their life, and people are striving for that. And you know, really, if you look at it as wicked, it is wicked. But understand what wickedness is. Wicked, the very word wicked, I like to use this because it gives me the understanding. Wicked is means twisted. And that's why it's a wicker basket, because they weave and twist what they're using into something. It's twisted. The things that God made got twisted. He made us to be happy. He made us to seek happiness, to be loved, to give love. We're made in a certain way, but sin has twisted and made us to be wicked. People are wicked. But people really want to be loved. People want to be happy. All of this is a pursuit. And when I look at it, instead of having a hatred, we shouldn't hate people. We should understand that they need God to straighten them back out. God needs to bring them to a whole place again. Our world is broken. People are broken. They're wicked. They're twisted. They're trying to find happiness, and they think a lot of times it's the delusion of money. The Bible calls it the deceitfulness of riches. And we try to get it in any way we can get it. Steal, cheat, connive. People think that drugs will do it. Well, drugs can do it for a moment. They can get you out of your troubles, can make you forget what miserable life you have, but you'll come down from it and you'll need more and more as you go, all the time totally destroying your physical body, your mind, your heart. It becomes more wicked and twisted and involved in these things. And really, that's not the answer. Some people think that relationship is the answer. And so they pursue one relationship after the other in the great hopes that I'll fulfill some longing in me, some longing that I have, a deep longing. I want to be happy, I want to be fulfilled. I do. I don't like days that I don't feel good. I don't like to not be happy. I don't like to be miserable. Some people have even questioned or wondered about my way of grieving. Well, I give everybody room, but I'm going to tell you the way I see things. I don't like to feel that. I don't like to feel that, so I don't if I can help. Lord, help me not to do this. I don't like this. I want to feel happy and elated, and I strive for these things. You know, people have needs in this world, and we can set up some kind of religion or allow the devil to help us to do it and set up some kind of a facade that we can have some kind of a temporary fix that you can feel good about yourself to get rid of your guilt, to come and drop it at our altar. You know, there's a reality to finding God. But there is a superficial way of coming to a repentance to man and say what you've done. And all, you can feel good about that too. You can turn over a new leaf. A lot of people do those things in the pursuit of trying to find satisfaction and happiness. People do some of the most incredible things. I don't want you to. It's evil and it's wrong, and I can say it from right here. The devil's in it throughout. But don't feel too hard about the people that are out there, the young people that are confused and stuff about their gender and all that, because I want to tell you, they want to be loved and be happy, because it's innate in everybody. And they just are wicked. It's a wicked time, it's a wicked world, and they're trying to find something. They don't have it. They don't have what a lot of us have having experienced and feel. They need something in there, and they're not satisfied with life, or they wouldn't be doing these things. Yeah, the devil's destroying, and we can hate that, and we should, but we shouldn't hate the people that are out there. We got a message for them. There's a message for them. We know that's not going to work. I can tell you right now, that's not going to work. Because when you get through doing all that you can do, what you're going to find out is your same old miserable souls there. You can drink yourself like that and think that it's a happy time, but when you wake up out of your drunken state and you get over your hangover, what you're going to have is the same old miserable person that got drunk, unhappy, and needing something to fulfill life. And you can pursue it out, the people do, and I'm not against every action out there in the world, but some people make sports their gods. But how far does that go? You can look at it, don't go very far. It's fleeting, and so some people get so euphoric about their team winning, the next year they lose, and the next year they lose, and the next year they lose. Only one wins, and everybody else lose somebody. Where along the time, and they hang their head, and they pout, and they cry, and it's a miserable life, and they want to be happy, so they keep pursuing. What else is there? I want to tell you what else there is. There's something else today that goes beyond all that. It fulfills all that. But I want us to get it in the right way, because so often we really miss what the idea really is. It's captured in a scripture in John, the 15th chapter. In the first verse, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Now, I would be totally erroneous and amiss to try to say to someone that you can come and get something that's meaning and lasting if you don't get this connection. Imagine this, you know, because there's all kinds of things that can be wrong in plant life. I fool with a lot of plant life. Supposing you go out and a limb is broken off of a tree you're concerned about, and you're concerned about that limb that's laying there on the ground. And you look and you say on that, well, the insects are eating at the leaves. I better do something to get the insects off the leaves. You know, if that's severed from the vine, that branch is laying there severed, you can be so all concerned about that. Let's keep the insects off us, make sure that the rabbits don't eat the leaves. Let's do everything we can do for this, and you're not going to keep it alive. It can have all kinds of, you can have some disease in the branches, you do all this kind of stuff, and you can put the proper stuff on it, you can do all that you want to do to it. You know, many people face or look at their experience like that. Many times we deal in the exterior of it. That I've got this problem. Okay, I've got this problem in my life. Well, let's dissect that problem. Let's look and see. Let's dissect it up. And this is my habit. This is the way I do things. Why don't I do that? And brother, you're cut off from the branch. You can go and say, well, brother, I think you need to do this, you need to do that, we'll get this fixed and go on and be blessed, and I think we can conquer this problem right here. No, you're not going to problem that. You might still have the insects or the disease in the limb or whatever that to deal with, but the first thing you got to do is get hooked back to the vine. Without being hooked to the vine, there's no life in it. This is what Jesus is saying here. Without me, you can do nothing. I wonder how many times a very simple explanation, and I hope you all understand this. I'm a very simple person. I'm not very deep about anything. I'm pretty simple, so you get a thing from me. I look at most people and ask me a question. I don't know if I know the answer or not, but I know the one that knows the answer. I know the one to tell you to go to. I know to tell you the one to get hooked to. Your problem, generally the problem is we're not hooked to the vine. We need to be hooked to the vine to these problems. Most all the problems are really settled from this experience. And I say this, most all, and I like to use this as an altar work tool, most all, if not 100% of the people that I've dealt with in altars or not altars or people that have in deep trouble in their spiritual life, we can go through the exact problems, we can go through what's happening, what they did, we can do all that kind of stuff, but then I'll ask an ultimate question, how is your devotion, how is your connection, and 100%, if there's one that hasn't said this, I don't know, they'll drop and say, I don't have one. Well, I think we found it. I think that's really the issue that we're dealing with here is that we don't have a connection. We have a connection with each other. That's good. It's good to have a connection. We have relationships, one with another. That's good. We have proper protocol and proper standard things. We dress right. We do all those kind of things. We do the peripherals. We do the things that you can see and all those kind of things. You can't see right now whether I'm hooked or not. Right? You don't know whether I'm hooked or not. This comes down very personal. This is, if anything I've preached over the years, it's this. You need a personal relationship with the Lord. The Lord did not come to have an experience that people want. I want to go and get an experience, then I can remove myself from the experience when I leave. It's like it's set separate. This isn't the way this works. It takes a connection with Christ that is, you go to bed with that. You wake up with it. You take it to town with you. You live life with that. When we start talking about victory in our lives, and I realize this all goes into the other ideas that we have, of course, of the Holy Ghost's work and of repentance and all of that. Jesus gets it just right here. He said, without me, you can do nothing. This isn't one of these things where you get something. It's, we like to look at it like that. God gave me something, and now I'm independent now of that. No, God got us hooked together more. God hooked us tighter together. I got a better connection now on this. I was very pleased this year. It's the first time it's ever really been successful for me. I've done quite a bit of grafting on fruit trees, and I was very pleased. It's kind of a technical thing, some of the grafts, and you got to get the cambium layers of the branches, and you got to get them hooked together, so that the sap of the tree and the roots can pump through and can connect in. And once it starts connecting in, it's like there is still life. There's possibility in the sky, and it's what you're putting on, but it doesn't show anything. It doesn't look anything. And I'm going to tell you, when you make the connection. And I've got some of them that is so beautiful. They've grown and they're so green and the bushing out. And it's obvious to everybody to look at that. That connected. There's some of the other ones that you look and it's dried up. And there's no light, no leaves coming off. It's stuck there. You can't tell the difference in the graft itself, but you don't need to. You can look at it and say that's not working. It doesn't matter where the bird's sitting on it. It doesn't matter where a bug's chewing on it. It doesn't matter what else is happening. It ain't hooked. And if it ain't hooked, it ain't alive. And if it ain't hooked, it ain't going to get victory. It ain't going to do anything. It will never have fruit on it. It will never have fruit on it. The other is growing, and the potential of the fruit is coming out on all of these because it's got the connection. In grafting, the most important thing, it's the everything to grafting. You got to make a connection. If you don't make the connection, it doesn't matter what else happens. You can make a connection and then everything can happen. But you got the potential then of everything. The birds can light in it. The bugs can hit it. Anything can happen. It'll outgrow it. It'll still have fruit on it. It'll still go if it's got the connection. I'm promoting a connection this morning. And the value of the connection is, and we don't need to try to be proud about this as ministers. You don't need me near as much when you get connected. Amen. Really, God didn't intend you to stay there. The connection with the Lord blossoms out into everything. That means that the connection with the Lord, you know, I know some people might be sensitive about these kind of things, but I'm going to be honest with you, okay? From our congregation, I am more than willing and always available for prayer or just everything. But it does my heart a lot of good when somebody stands up on Wednesday night and said, my child was sick last night. Well, I didn't get a call. They were sick and we prayed. Amen, I say. I'm more than willing. I want to do it. I'm more than willing. But it is an encouragement to me to know that they're hooked. They're hooked. They're listening. I mean, they're hooked. That's what I want them to be. I don't want them to say, oh, Brother Marty, it's got to be Brother Marty. Brother Marty, where's it? Brother Marty? No, I want to say Jesus. Jesus helped us. Jesus come on the scene. Got a relationship with the Lord. And it works. It works. I can pray and it works. And there's fruit coming out of it. And you see the fruit coming out of it. We got to have the connection. Jesus went so far to say, without me, you can do nothing. You're nothing. And it's a perfect illustration because what happens? You can baby it. You can love it. You can wish that it wasn't so. But that lamb that's disconnected, it's not going to have fruit on it. It's not going to live. It's only good for one thing. Well, in the natural sense, you can build a fire and roast some hot dogs on it. But that's about it. There's nothing else left for it. That's the way our life is when it's disconnected from the Lord. And again, so many times we'll say things like, well, I got this temper problem, Brother Rod, and it's really causing me a lot of problems in this. Well, maybe we can figure out some things about that. I'll tell you what you can figure out about. You need to be hooked to the Lord. He said, without me, you can do nothing. I don't know. There may be some activities after that, but I'm going to tell you, the first place to go is go and say, Brother, are you hooked? Do you have a connection with the Lord? You got this right? Because there's no need much to go on and try to get on the rest of the stuff if you ain't hooked. Because it's not going to work. But people, when we get hooked, the Lord will work in our lives. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But I want to say again, that sounds like, wow. I get hooked with the Lord. That Cadillac's mine. I mean, can I tell you what that really means? When you get hooked with the Lord, you're going to be praying for what the Lord wants in your life. And you can have it. You'll want it. Lord, make of me what you'd have me to be. When I'm hooked to the Lord, I'm going to be saying, Lord, make me that one that you want me to be. Give me the blessings of the Lord. Lord, I'm hooked into this. I want to see. I'm invested. I'm invested. I put my time and attention, my life is in this, Lord. I want to see souls saved. I want to see new chapels built in different areas. I want to see people living for the Lord. Lord, help me. And you know what? You can have whatever you will. Yeah, sure, you can have whatever you will. You know what you want? The things that God wants. Lord, pour out more of your Spirit. Make our services better. You know what hooked to the Lord will do? Get good and hooked to the Lord. It'll liven up our services. It will put a kick in your step in the Lord. I say it this way. I'd like to work with our minds here a little bit. I'm assuming that your interest is highly in the Lord's work. What do you think would be most inspirational to visitors coming into our midst, into our services? Would it be most inspirational to have one guy that stands up and leads the services, and then he prays, and then he sings, and then he preaches, and then he exhorts his message and prays and dismisses you? I'm going to say, most of us are going to say, that's not going to be real impressive. That's not going to be real inspirational. But I'm going to tell you what's inspirational: when the whole thing's flowing from the Spirit's leading, and one sings, one prays, one exhorts, all together, working together, people putting their part in there, people being wise to the calls of the Lord. It ain't about all that you did last week. There's a time to testify. We encourage all of it. But I'm going to say, when our mind's in the Lord and I'm hooked to the Lord, this isn't about me gaining favor or doing anything like that or looking big in that. It is the worship of the Lord. I want to worship the Lord, and we're hooked together in the Lord. And it allows me to, when I'm hooked to the Lord, to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? There wasn't anybody in here, I say that without knowledge, but I couldn't imagine somebody in here less likely or capable to preach as what I am. And I don't imagine anybody in here was more shy or embarrassed about standing and talking before people than I am. But I want to tell you what happened to me. I got hooked with the Lord. And it wasn't like I wanted to do these things. Of course, I didn't want to do them, not in the flesh. But I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to live for you. Make of me what you would have me to be. If there's any good in this old vessel, Lord, you can have it. So the Lord did. Start using me for whatever capacity. That's up to your thoughts. But whatever capacity, the Lord used me. And I remember plainly when I told the Lord. Lord, it seemed like I'm going to make a fool out of myself. You know what I ended up saying? I'll make a fool out of myself, Lord, for you. Lead me on. Brother Sammons, which some knew, some didn't, but Brother Sammons was a great inspiration of faith to me. I had the privilege of the end of when I started ministry, he was at the end of his, and I had the privilege of following him around. It wasn't planned. It wasn't something we did. It's what happened. And I had the privilege of knowing Brother Sammons and his faith and all that he did. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Sammons was a man. I wasn't pursuing Brother Sammons. I was pursuing the God that took this old Eastern Kentucky ignorant old guy and lifted him up till college-educated people would ask advice of him. And he barely went to the eighth grade or something. And God put a wisdom and something in him that people recognized and saw. And he had a connection with the Lord. With the Lord. That's what we need to have. We're not after the God of Elijah. We're not after Elijah. Where's Elijah? No, not where Elijah. Where's the God of Elijah? Where's the God that done those miracles, and then say, Lord, can I do what Brother Sammons have done? I remember plainly saying, when after Brother Sammons died, I remember thinking to the Lord, boy, Brother Sammons could have some real faith when he prayed for things. And I said, well, Lord, Brother Sammons ain't gonna need dad anymore. Now, if something could drop on me, I'd like to be able to do that. Well, the rest of that story is that the Lord was like, well, you can have it, but it ain't cheap. It just don't fall off of him in this. You know what it takes? you can say this is a consecration message if you want to, but what it says is that I'm deeper connected to the Lord. The deeper and the more connected I am to the Lord, the more I'll be able to do those things in the Lord. Because it doesn't come from us, and without me, you can do nothing. A lot of the sports heroes of the world, different ones doing it now, but they're putting on their shoes and stuff. A scripture, what is that? 1 Corinthians, I think. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can't do them by myself. I can't muster up anything. If you're having issues in your life, I just want you to say the first thing that I need to do when I'm having these problems, these things in my life, is check the connection. Lord, check the connection. I'm going to tell you, you can be connected to the Lord, and the Lord will allow things into your life. You might have a lot more things because you're connected. You're going to have more power to overcome and do what the Lord wants you to do, being connected to the Lord. Too easily, I think, we disconnect from the Lord. Over in 19 of Acts, oh, there's kind of a mindset I want to pick up here. See where I can get it from. 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, who Paul preaches. Now, there's a lot of modern day this mentality. I've seen this mentality. I've had people just, well, the devil's doing something. We can just rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Bible says that. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. No. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Get hooked with the Lord and you'll have power in your life to tell the devil to go down the road. These people, Whoa, they saw Paul preaching, and Paul came along and said, in the name of Jesus, get out of there. Whoa, power. Well, we'll just say that too. Let's write down some really good quotes. Well, let's see what we do on this one. This one is, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. No. Paul was hooked with Christ. He was one of the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. You abide in me and I abide in you, and you can ask what you will. That devil, that spirit is tormenting this brother, and I'm saying in the name of Jesus, get out of there. What you will. So these guys said, we'll pick up that. Paul's got onto something here. So they did it. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. Now listen to this. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know. You know, there was authority there, wasn't there? They know who Jesus was. These spirits knew right off who Jesus is. I mean, that's kind of like this Jesus. We know Jesus. And Paul, I know. But who are you? Who do you think you are? I don't know who you are. You have no place here of that. What are you gonna say? And it said the man in whom the evil spirits was leaped on them. How many was he? How many of them was he? And there were seven sons. And the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcome them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now, get the picture of this. What would you say, what would be the message to these people? Now they're out there naked and wounded, and this guy just put it on them. And they're saying, what happened? I know what my message would be. You need to know Jesus. It wasn't Paul that was able to do that. It was his connection with Jesus that did that. Jesus was the one that has authority over all principalities and powers and wickedness and high places, evil. That's Jesus. That's not you. Many people go down these realms of these things without the connection that we need to have. Lord, help us to be connected in the Lord. This is the message underlying the whole message of the Scriptures. If you don't understand this, it's really hard to understand to the depths what 1 John and all that's talking about with sin and all that. What you got to realize under all of that, if you look at this through this lens, that everything in the Scripture there is a given. We need Christ. Not as a gift from that and gone, or not from something that he gives us, but the connection of Christ. We need the connection of Christ. Yes, when we start talking about what place we have in sin, we go down the lines of saying, I believe that there is possible in the Christian life a place of sin-free living. Watch out now. If you're going to try to claim that without the connection with the Lord, I'll say you're absolutely wrong. You cannot do it. He said, without me, you can do nothing. It's the connection with the Lord that grants these things and what answers all the questions that there is about sin. We need the Lord in our lives. There is a scripture that says that if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to be hooked with the Lord. We need to be hooked up with Him. There was another scripture. I'll just mention this one. I'm sorry, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a Philippians scripture. But there was a story in the scripture where Jesus was coming to the house of Mary and Martha. You remember the story? And so they're coming to the house. Jesus is coming to the house, and he's giving his exhortation, it sounds, and Martha's doing. And Martha comes to Jesus and says, Master, would you talk to Mary? Now, let me give up my words here, and it's not quoting. Would you talk to my sister and tell her, the load's too big. There's a lot of people. We're fixing a meal. Tell Mary to help me. I'm overcharged. I believe that Martha was in full confidence that she was in the righteous state. You know what I mean? Come on, you know what I mean. There's always this human element where we up one. Yeah, this, I'm in the place, and so, you know. And this will prove all the disagreements we've had for the last 20 years that I'm right to be in this position. Well, I know humanity, but she thought she was right. And she asked Jesus about something. Jesus put more weight on being connected than he did our natural food. Mary, leave her alone. Martha, leave Mary alone. Martha, you'd be better off be sitting beside Mary. Because she chose the better part. Because let me tell you something, Martha. If you all give me this liberty, I'm going to tell you something. Mary is going to be a better sister, neighbor, wife, daughter, human being for sitting at my feet. She'll be a better sister to you. And Martha, you'll be a worse one. You'll be a worse sister for not being there. I remember a story I read of a guy that had some young sons, and their sons, the man's sons was longing for their dad's attention, which I feel like it's right to give. But they was longing for their dad's attention, and the dad was taking a great amount of time in prayer. And they ended up saying to their dad, would you take less time in prayer and give us some time? And his answer was, sons, if I don't spend that time in prayer, you won't want to be with me. I won't be worth being with. This for all of us is paramount, that we be hooked to the Lord and that we find those places. And I think everybody has their own personal different ways of doing that. But I'm going to say, I think the thing that the devil does most of the time to us is he comes in and doesn't make us to realize that he's etching away at our connection. He's actually damaging our connection through things. The cares of life was given that in the scriptures as being doing that job. But there's so much to do and there's so much time to spend and all those things. We live in this busy world and we got all of these things. And we not really realize that the problem that we have is solved by getting the connection, working on the connection with the Lord. And he comes in, he brings these other things, and he starts running the connection, and I don't have the power I once had, and maybe there's a little string hooked in there yet, and sometimes on a graph you get just a little connection in there, and you'll get one little side. You know what generally always happens? It dies. It ends up it doesn't have a good enough connections, and it can't supply enough, and it ends up, it withers and dies. And if it doesn't, there's just never enough fruit or poor fruit. It just never does. It needs to have the right connection. So Lord, help us to be connected to the Lord, because it's important. It is the important part of our living for the Lord is to be connected with the Lord. And I want to look at another scripture. Over in John, I think it's about 21, John 21. The 21st chapter of John. I'll go back to 15 to pick up some of the thought. 21 of John 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Do you think there was any correlation in the Lord's mind between Peter loving him and Peter's ability to do the job that he had ahead of him? Well, it sounds obvious to me that the Lord was very aware of the future of Peter's life. And he was going to ask him to do a monumental job. He didn't even realize what this would mean altogether. But he asked him first, you love me? Yes. If I could add here, Peter, hang on, you better stay connected. Your life is going to demand the connection. So, keep connected. He says unto him again, second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, I just want to insert here sometimes, and being someone that's been in the ministry for a while, I think I've had some thoughts and different things about that. I wonder if there was ever a time where the disturbances and the carnality of the people that was claiming to be saved and the people that he was dealing with, or maybe his own carnality, whatever, would flare up, and that the words of Jesus would come in when he was saying, I'm just about to go out of here. And the voice of the Lord would say, Lovest thou me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Well, you stay right there where I put you then. You're in a good place. Without the connection, folks, it doesn't work. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. So here was the point. It was saying this with this. Peter, you're going to have to love me. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to stay connected. I'm not always going to look you in the eye, Peter. There's going to be a day through the Spirit I'm going to deal with you. You're going to need connected with me, because it's not all going to be roses. In order for you to fulfill your mission and glorify God, you're going to need connected. Do you love me? Because love is the connection. Do we love the Lord? I love you enough to stay there. I want to see my wife every day. There's no problem. I want to see my wife every day. Glad for it. Lord, help us. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Now listen. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? I'll read that right. He leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Which was John. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? I imagine Jesus is like, oh. I mean, that was a beautiful, deep statements that he was doing there for Peter. I mean, for his future, for his life, I gave you your message. Peter, I gave you your message. Connecting in right here. This is me and you. And you just diverted. Oh, missed that one. That's the distractions I'm talking about, though, folks. I'm going to tell you, being hooked to the Lord for me has done. It's cleared my visions. It's given me a perspective, the right perspective, the Christian perspective. When my carnal man wants to see something or do something in that way, the connection with the Lord gives me the Lord's vision about that. It gives me a vision about the world around me. It doesn't allow me. Being hooked to the Lord doesn't allow me to take this position. What's this man going to do? It's not my place or concern. Lord, bless him. Lord, have mercy on him like he did me. I'm connected to the Lord. Clears up all the ideas about it. It makes it one-on-one, personal, to the Lord. And I want to tell you something else it does. The religious facade is very good about showing a piety when people's eyes are on you. But it can get pretty ugly outside of that. This is not that experience. This experience finds truth and honesty when you're by yourself. It finds it all the time connected with the Lord. This is really the answer. This is the message. When we say coming to the Lord, this is what we mean, coming unto the Lord. So many of the people in the world thinks that there's joining a church is somehow my way to heaven. No, it's not. A connection with the Lord is the way to go. It's the only way to go. We've got to be hooked to the vine, or we're dried and withered. And hooked to the vine isn't a yo-yo experience. It isn't something that comes in and out. It doesn't do that. The connection is to be made connection, and then it grows from that connection. It's a part of the same plant, folks. It's got different branches, but it's all the same one. And you're a branch and I'm a branch. The whole church is branched off of one vine. In the Lord Jesus. That's why the language is the same. Yeah, it was mentioned we're individuals. Sure, but God can take each individual and put them into the same fruit-bearing place. What Peter's seeing is said to him, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? So think about that. Now, that was a pretty blunt statement. That was blunt. That was just plain blunt. And I think Jesus said it in a very nice way. I would have probably said, what's that to you, Peter? But I think Jesus said just the way it's written, what's that to thee? Follow thou me. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're going to get your eyes off on the concerns of everybody else's duties and ways, you're missing the point. Get connected to the Lord and fulfill the Lord's mission in your life. And you can be concerned about everybody else in a true way. But you're being hooked to the vine will give your family the ultimate opportunity in the Lord. It'll give your neighbors the ultimate opportunity in the Lord. It will solve the problems of anger and temper. It will help you to have patience and patient times, and it will help you to be able to do what you need to do in the times that you need to do them. So the solution, rather than to come and say that a lot of times, I know there's places that you can be hooked and you need to, other things, it's fine. But I say a lot of the times I'm wondering, maybe if we aren't slacking on the connection, and I'm not just getting enough of it, you know, that's where all my strength and all the power and all the life-giving flow comes from this vine. And when I'm not hooked into that vine very good, I just wimpy and poor. Can't put up with a criticism. You get hooked to this vine, you can put up with criticisms. Godly people, the scripture says that they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Hooked to the vine, you're going to suffer some persecution, but you can take it. Do you know that there was a man, and in closing, there was a man in the scriptures, you can find it story in Acts, a man named Stephen. And I want to tell you, under the Holy Ghost, he gave him a mouthful. You can go read that. He laid it on him. But when they went to stoning him to death, he proved he was hooked. His mind was the mind of Christ. And he asked the Lord not even to lay, his murderers, to lay their sin to their charge. Lord, don't charge them for it. Now that was Christian. That's being hooked to the vine. So much so that this man that was hooked to the vine, I don't know this, but if you give me just a little liberty, there was a man there that held the stoner's coats. Remember? There was a man there that was holding the coats. And when the Lord dealt with him on the road to Damascus, the Lord said to him, why do you kick against the pricks? I can't help from wondering if that day he looked on the man that asked him not to forgive, to hold it against him, if that wasn't a prick to him. What does that man have that would allow him to do that, what he just done? Maybe that was one of the pricks that he felt. When we're hooked to the vine, the Lord can use our life in that way, and much fruit can come out. You pray for me.